It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're taking a look at Pittsburghers who are devoting time and effort to help troubled areas around the globe. Honduras is one of the world's deadliest countries, overrun by gangs and violence. Women, journalists, lawyers, and members of the LGBT community have been singled out as victims. Carnegie Mellon PhD candidate Eric Vasquez recently traveled to Honduras and joins us in Studio A to tell us about his experience there. Eric Vasquez, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Why did you go to Honduras?
I was interested in Latin America. It has kind of, sometimes it has progressive social movements that kind of really push the region forward. So I was pretty excited about that. And also because I was concerned about the deaths of LGBT people and the general targeting by the government there.
That targeting by the government, how does it compare to other countries around the world, perhaps African countries where there's a great deal of hostility toward the LGBT community?
The comparison is different insofar as in Honduras, the LGBT community is growing. It's got a major political presence in the way that a lot of those countries, they're just barely starting to form communities, but the rate of violence, because they're more visible, increases with that increased visibility.
In a country that's identified as the murder capital of the world, how concerned were you for your safety?
I was a little concerned, but as the days progressed, it became easier and easier to assume that I was going to be safe. I am a Latino, and friends of mine, my partner, were concerned that I would sort of be assumed to be Honduran and that I might be targeted as a result. But I look remarkably different from your average peasant in Honduras. And so I think that was increasingly did not seem like a problem for me, at least.
What kind of human rights violations are taking place right now in the country?
Right now, people are really concerned about what's going on with inauguration of the new president. People are being, particular political activists from progressive parties like Libre, are being targeted and killed either by death squads or by people unknown because it's a general condition of impunity. But those are the kinds of things that are happening for LGBT people. Trans women are being targeted, are being beaten and humiliated in public, are being abducted. Same thing with gay men and lesbians are also sort of subject to a similar kind of treatment. And sometimes they'll come out of a session with security forces being tortured with their bodies deposited around the area, around major cities.
Why are LGBT being targeted there?
In 2009, there was a coup in Honduras where a president was sort of ejected from the country and transported to Costa Rica into exile. There was a lot of social protests that emerged immediately after the coup. And LGBT people were right at the forefront. They, for some reason, they call the coup their Stonewall. And Stonewall, for those of you who aren't familiar, is it was a moment in the 1960s when it was sort of the first moment of LGBT insurrection in the U.S. and where a bar was continually raided by the police and the occupants, the LGBT occupants, rose up and fought the police and were able to kind of state their claim on public space in a way that they hadn't been able to before. And people see that as symbolic for sort of the emergence of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender movement. And so they stood up and sort of seized that opportunity to kind of make their political impact. And as a result, because their connection with these parties that are changing the state of affairs and these movements that are doing so, they become bigger targets in the country.
What was involved in the work that you performed while you were in Honduras?
Most of the time we were meeting with movement leaders in the two major cities, but we also observed the elections ourselves. I was sent to the remote state, Olancho, which is a sort of considered the Wild West. It's where the drug cartels and security forces have a presence. And so I sort of went around with one of the observers of the elections and actually observed irregularities in the elections throughout the process and was able to document them. But most of the time we spent meeting with movement leaders from the LGBT movement, from other forces in the Libre Party, people who were in indigenous rights movements, people who served in NGOs there's a trans women's NGO that we met, a woman, Claudia Spellman, who ran for office for a little while, and she was great. People from the movement for diversity and resistance in particular are big because they're sort of the big arm of the LGBT movement, the political movement in the country, and just kind of taking testimony so we can write a report.
What type of election irregularities were you on the lookout for?
One of the things that I was looking for that I was surprised to see was people who were dead and had immigrated years before were registered voters. So there's a question of fraud there. There was a lot of intimidation. There's a lot of military presence throughout the country, and particularly in voting centers, which is not a, it doesn't send a good message to voters if they see so many soldiers and militarized police there. I met a woman who was declared inhabilitada, which means that you're unable to vote. And it's usually a situation that is reserved for people who are ex-convicts. And she had no conviction history. So there were a lot of just sort of arbitrary denial of voting rights. Some man who was allowed to vote without an ID. Indigenous communities, there were rumors of people buying votes in poor indigenous communities throughout the region. So I think the biggest thing that I noticed was the sort of people declared dead or people who were dead, the sort of arbitrary denial of voting rights and the kind of militarization of the voting process.
Will you return to the country?
I hope to. It was actually a really inspiring but also very sad experience. I think the movement leaders are really motivated. They have a lot of sense of mission, and that was really inspiring to me. So I hope to be able to collaborate with them more.
Our guest has been Eric Vasquez, a PhD candidate at Carnegie Mellon who recently traveled to Honduras. Eric Vasquez, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.